Hello, this is DJ Frederick, and the Radio Thrift Shop is open for business. The Radio Thrift Shop has been broadcast since 1999. So jump into the time machine as we explore music and documentaries from the past century plus of recorded sound. I have no genre, no agenda. It's reality or nothing in this AI world. Physical media, real records, and tunes for the rest of us. So let's dig into the bins and put something on the turntable. Welcome to the Thrift Shop. We'll be right back. From their one and only LP, that was the Bobby Hamilton Quintet Unlimited, a tune called Pearl, from the album Dream Queen, released back in 1972 on Alafia Records, reissued by Now Again Records in 2022. Before that, we heard Mr. James Newton with The World is a Ghetto, and I believe he is still among us, still playing. Amazing, amazing musician, James Newton. Well, I'm DJ Frederick. This is the Radio Thrift Shop, and you're listening on Dolphin Radio, WXDR in New Orleans.
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning.
The Hammer Song has been pounding out social change since 1949. You're on the Soundbeat.
I'd hammer out danger, I'd hammer out a warning, I'd hammer out love between all of my brothers all over this land.
Intended to give voice to union workers during the Progressive Era, the song was written by Pete Seeger and Lee Hayes in 1949. The Hammer Song was the breakout hit for their group, The Weavers, and released on their label, Hootenanny Records, in March of 1950. The song paved the way for their commercial success, leading to hits Kisses Sweeter Than Wine and Weem Away. The song's original intent spoke well to the civil rights movement and also helped to kickstart another group's career. Peter, Paul, and Mary's 1962 version was their first big hit. Their next was Puff the Magic Dragon.
All over this land.
This episode was co-written by Kelsey Francella, part of the Soundbeat Class Partnership. Find out more right now at soundbeat.org. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Libraries. I'm Brett Barry.
DJ Frederick's tips on how not to do a radio show. Don't have a wavering voice. Have that deep, mysterious DJ voice. Don't use MP3s and WAV files. Use old records and tapes instead. Talk so fast that no one can understand you. Don't play any current top 40 tunes. Don't play any rap music. For more tips on how not to do a radio show, follow me at Radio Thrift Shop every Saturday night at 10 p.m.
here on Dolphin Radio.
cool music in a tune called Cool Reflections by Bill Gedard from 1975. Before that, we heard Al Kent and The Light of You. Well, I'm DJ Frederick. This is the Radio Thrift Shop. It's like having an entire thrift store on the airwaves.
Exploring science and the sea. In July of 2022, two scientists descended to the Challenger Deep, the deepest spot in the oceans. The first thing they saw on the bottom wasn't a new species of life or some other exotic wonder. It was a glass beer bottle sitting 7 miles deep. Litter isn't limited to the giant garbage patches on the ocean surface. It's found on the bottom as well, even in the deepest of all locations. It's been seen on the floors of all the oceans and seas, including the Arctic and Southern Oceans. A recent study, for example, used video cameras to survey a portion of the Calypso Deep, a 3-mile-deep spot in the Mediterranean Sea near Greece. The cameras recorded about 150 items of trash, paper bags and cartons, glass bottles and jars, and lots of plastic. Bags, crates, bottles, fishing gear, and more. Based on that sample, researchers calculated the region should average about 70,000 pieces of trash per square mile. The spots with the highest estimated density of trash yet recorded are a couple of mile-deep canyons in the South China Sea. 135,000 pieces per square mile. Trash washes out to sea from rivers, is lost from ships, or is deliberately dumped. And it's a menace to any organisms on the sea floor. It can entangle them, or strangle or poison them if they try to eat it. And with an estimated 7 million tons of trash added to the oceans every year, the problem will only get worse in the years ahead. For the University of Texas Marine Science Institute, I'm Holly Brawley.
How not to do a radio show. Speak really slow, like the overnight guy at NPR. Play music that most people have never heard of. Take long pauses between announcements. Let the runout group play over the airwaves. Spill coffee all over the Mackie board. For more tips on how not to do radio, tune in every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. here on Dolphin Radio, WXDR.
is singing on a soft summer breeze. Makes me think of my baby left down in New Orleans. Left down in New Orleans. Magnolia, you sweet thing, you're driving me mad. Gotta get back to you, babe. You're the best I ever had. You're the best I ever had. Soon be there, and I'll soon be
A 7-inch 45 released back around 1980. That's Harry Shields with a cover of Magnolia, released on Mr. Music Records in Nashville, Tennessee. Before that, we heard Aidan McNally and his Aidan Airs with Crystal Caves from a really classic Exotica album. And we started off with Vinnie Burke and Nightbeat. This is DJ Frederick. We're here on the Nightbeat on 99.1 WXDR Dolphin Radio. And I'm here every Saturday evening from 10 p.m. onward. And if you'd like to hear anything, any music you'd like to hear on the Radio Thrift Shop, please email me at radiothriftshopnh. That's all one word. radiothriftshopnh@gmail.com. There's a new edition of the Beatles Anthology, Anthology 4, recently released, and we're not going to listen to that here on the Radio Thrift Shop. We are instead going to listen to some commentary by John Blackstone. How's that for a twist?
Hi, everybody. This is John Blackstone. I had to make this video on the run. I'm in a hotel, so I gotta tell you, I'm really angry. Forgive me for being angry, but I can't help it. It's what happens when it comes to the Beatles sometimes. The reason I'm angry is because of the anthology, the new 2025 anthology. So I have to go back a little bit in time. When the very first Beatles anthology was released in 1995, the first taste that we got of the quote-unquote new Beatles songs was the song Free as a Bird. And it was cool. It was a song that Beatles fans, Lennon fans, knew well because that song had been released on bootlegs, the demos that John did and everything. But, you know, we got to hear George's cool guitar, and we got to hear Ringo's drums, and we got to hear some cool Beatly background vocals done by George and Paul. So that was kind of cool. But when Real Love came out, that was the track that if the Beatles were around now, this is what they might sound like. And it was because it's a beautiful song. John Lennon, near the end of his life, started writing songs that had some of the beautiful melodies that he used to write when he was in the Beatles, as opposed to things like the stuff you hear on Plastic Ono Band and things like that. He started writing songs like Woman and Beautiful Boy and Watching the Wheels. It was like he was returning to a more pop songwriting style. And to me, Real Love was that. It was like John was writing a real beautiful pop song. And then George and Ringo and Paul got to add their parts. And the coolest standout to the whole thing to me was George's guitar. In between every line that Lennon sang, George played these cool guitar licks. And they weren't all slide guitar, which had become his trademark by then. He played some non-slide guitar licks like this. Just super cool guitar parts. Well, guess what? In the new cool 2025 remix, they axed a bunch of George's guitar parts. Now, how do you explain that? Something that you know, 30 years ago was supposed to be a new Beatles track because George, Ringo, and Paul participated in it. In 2025, what do? They get rid of George. Boy, that's such a great decision. Great decision, Apple. Compare the two. Listen to the space left open that used to be filled by George's guitar. I don't know who made that decision. It's possible that even Paul or, you know, somebody like that made that decision. But what a bad, bad decision. They took an opportunity where they could have cleaned up John's voice a bit, which even sounds weird. It sounds like it's not even the same vocal take anymore. I know they use the new technology to clean it up, but it doesn't sound the same. It sounds like a very different vocal, but that's not the problem. The problem is they cut George out of that track. That makes me mad. I wasn't going to say anything about the anthology 2024. But I just got to say, what a waste. What a total cash grab. The new tracks, quote unquote, new tracks that appear on the fourth disc, they could have been dispersed amongst the other three. But no, they filled it out with a bunch of stuff that we've already purchased. So that's a cash grab, a ripoff. It's like, why even do it? The anthology was never supposed to be a high-tech presentation. It was just literally a collection of scraps and odds and ends, some of which came from the soundtrack of old 60s television shows. Why even redo it? It's such a bad decision, and a decision that really tells longtime Beatles fans, we don't care. We couldn't care less about you or the things that you want. They know full well that what we want is Rubber Soul, Magical Mystery Tour, we want Help, we want deluxe versions of those albums, but no. Nope, they give us this rehashed, reheated crap, and it really bothers me. But the worst is that they did that to Real Love. The Beatles have gained a lot of new fans. They don't need clever marketing ideas to grab that new audience. The new audience is attracted to the Beatles' music and the magic and the songs. If a Beatles song had never been remixed, people would still be celebrating it 500 years from now. None of this stuff needs to be done, this remixing, and although I love it, I like some of the remixes a lot. My point is, stop taking the fans of the Beatles for granted and stop making decisions based on money alone. Treasure this legacy because it's a legacy that's going to outlive all of you and all of us that are here on the planet Earth right now. And stop trying to fix it like what happened on the Blue Album. Listen to I Am the Walrus, the remix of I Am the Walrus, the fade out. It's a nightmare. It completely deviates from the original I Am the Walrus. That's a big problem. It's taking the Mona Lisa and putting glasses on her. It's really wrong. I was so mad I had to go out and record more. Hey, here's a novel idea. How about catering your business decisions to appease the people who have purchased 20 different versions of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band? You know, the real Beatles people, the real fans who have kept Apple alive all these years, you know, the ones that have spent thousands of dollars on Beatles product. How about catering to those people? Who's making these decisions? Why did you reissue the Red and the Blue albums? Why? Who wants that? What Beatles fan was clamoring for a reissue of the Red and the Blue albums? No one. The answer is you're making decisions on the basis of money. Every business has to succeed, and God knows the Beatles got ripped off. But man, come on. Start making some decisions that honor the integrity of this incredible catalog. Sorry, but I'm angry.
Thank you.
Stanley Jordan with Eleanor Rigby. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You've been listening to the Radio Thrift Shop on Dolphin Radio, WXDR. Now, next week I may do a holiday special, and if I do, it'll be the first one in a decade, so please stay tuned for that. Until then, take good care of your loved ones, take good care of your community, and keep your radio free. Radio Thrift Shop is produced in Groveton, New Hampshire, by a guy with a microphone. I'm not going to be able to do that.